We're going to call Wednesday, February 24th, regular city council meeting to order. It's 5:30. We have a quorum with Mike Shields, Colleen Scott, Don Greiner, myself. We are down a council member. We'll be taking in recruiting here in the very near future. But we do have a quorum at this moment. So will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we do allot 3 minutes of public comment at the beginning and end of every council meeting. I don't know if we have any public here that has a comment. I don't really see any. Everybody else is on the agenda. Okay, so we're going to move past our public comments. Are there any added agenda items that we have at this moment?
None from us, no.
Okay, we have no added agenda items. We're going to move directly into our consent agenda, which is the February 10th, 2021 regular council meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Mr. Mayor, could I make just a small amendment to the minutes?
Certainly.
Could we just add maybe one or two lines where we swear in Councilor Greiner? If you could just add a line concerning the appointment and just the process that the council went on to appoint him. I was just feeling if someone went back and read the minutes, just so they would know, just two lines of process, that's it.
Sounds great, we'll do it.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. With the amended minutes, do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes.
All right, and we have a second. All those in favor of accepting the February 10th, 2021 minutes with the amendments mentioned, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, so the minutes are good. We're going to move directly into number 7, which is another unfortunate situation. In our last council meeting, we had the resignation of one of our counselors, at this council meeting, we have another resignation, this time due to a person's family who had to move to a different state, so our counselor had to move with their family, of course. So we have a resignation from Counselor Alicia Powell, and do we have a motion to accept her resignation?
I'll make a motion to accept the resignation of Alicia Powell.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All those in favor of accepting Alicia Powell's unfortunate resignation, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right, we're sorry to see you go, Alicia. We wish you the very best wherever you end up. Our next order of our agenda is a presentation from Habitat for Humanities. Request for SDC credit. Is there someone from Habitat for Humanity that would like to say something?
Yes, please.
Okay, if you'll please approach the bench and just explain your position and
just push the bottom at the base of your microphone there to turn it on. There should be a little red light.
Looks like it's on. My name is Wade Watson. I serve on the board of directors of Habitat for Humanity of La Plaine Sun River. And in my capacity as a board member, I also direct our development and construction programs. So we appreciate your allowing us to make this presentation. First slide, please. Just as a bit of a refresher, Habitat La Plaine Sun River is a nonprofit organization. We have a 27-year history, dating all the way back into the 90s. Our mission is to provide homeownership to, for low-income residents of South Deschutes County. And in the last 10 years, we've constructed 24 new homes in the city of Lapine. So a significant addition. Next slide, please. Our funding sources are pretty simple. Individual and corporate donations are a part of it. We also try to get as many foundation grants as possible. And of course, you're aware that we have a restore up on North Highway 97, and the revenue from that also supports our operations. Next slide, please. The demand for low-income housing in the last 6 years has just dramatically increased. And a large part of the reason for that is that people can pay for the mortgage, taxes, insurance, and homeowners association dues for one of our houses for less money than they're typically paying for rent, because rent prices have gone so high. So you can see there that prior to 2014, we were building one house a year all the way back into the 90s, because that's what the demand was. As the demand increased, we started to ramp up in 2014 and 15, and since 2016, we've consistently built 3 homes per year. Next slide. The Putney Place development you're probably familiar with, but in case you're not, it's located up by the Senior Center, east of the Senior Center. It's 1.85 acres of land that fortunately Deschutes County donated to us. On that, we subdivided it for 19 new townhomes. Each home has 1,350 square feet. In each of the triplexes, one of them is a little larger, it's 1,400 square feet. 3-bedroom units with a single car garage. So this shows the subdivision, and our development so far has been on the north end. You can see the triplex that we built in 2019 and the one that we built in 2020. The one for 2021, we have been notified that the permits are ready to pick up, and you know, if we don't have another heavy snowfall, we hope to start in April. We believe, we're very proud of what we're accomplishing. The units are very attractive additions to the community. That's a picture of last year's unit. The home mortgages for our 2020 houses were $170,000. The appraisals for those units were 212 to 216. So part of the magic that we provide to low-income people is that they don't have to come up with the 20% of equity. That's built into the difference between what we are able to build them for and what they're appraised at. The low cost relates to substantial volunteer participation in the construction. And then also we've got generous gift in kind donations from suppliers and contractors. For example, Sunwest donates the foundation concrete to us. So our biggest challenge throughout the last 5 years has been just trying to brainstorm how can we keep the cost as low as possible, because basically incomes are not rising dramatically. And if we allow the costs to continue to rise, the income qualification level would also continue to rise. And that obviously doesn't serve the community very well. So this past year, for the $170,000 mortgages, people needed to have a family income of $34,000. That doesn't sound like very much to many of us. But for an awful lot of people in Southern Deschutes County, $30,000 is really hard to reach. So we have many families that are unable to qualify. So again, our goal is to try to figure out ways continuously that we can keep the cost as low as possible so that we can reach out to a lower income level. So this slide demonstrates what I've been referring to in more detail. In 2017 and 18, we were still building detached single-family homes up at Newberry Woods, just north of Burgess. And you can see the costs were, you know, relatively consistent. During that time frame, though, we were, as I said, we've been focused on trying to figure out ways to keep the cost as low as possible. And so consequently, we started looking at the townhome concept back in 2017 and ultimately got the city to donate the land in 2018. So in 2019, we built our first three units, as I showed you on the slide previously. And you can see what the cost was that year. You look at 2019 and 2020 and you think, gee, you know, costs didn't rise very much. That is the way to interpret those numbers. Basically, when we built those first three units, we recognized that there were things that we could do much more simply. And so we redesigned the units for 2019 and were able to keep the cost at about the same. Otherwise, it probably would have been more like $10,000 increase. This year, we've just completed our budgeting process and we're shocked that the estimated costs that we've been able to get are dramatically increased. And the biggest component of that, anybody who is involved in the development and building process has probably heard that lumber prices have just gone skyrocketed. So that's the biggest portion of that increase. We're hopeful that we can conserve along the way and keep it below that $185,000, but it was a big shock, as I said. One of the things to note there also is on the lot costs, Newberry Woods, our book costs for those lots was $40,000. By changing to townhouses in 2019, we were able to drop that cost to $30,000. So, you know, it just demonstrates that it was a good decision to go to the townhouses. I put the note at the bottom just because it's important to recognize that the $185,000 estimate, you know, I had shown on the previous slide that for a $170,000 mortgage, you needed a $34,000 income to qualify. If we're not able to figure out a way to reduce that $185,000, it will require a $2,000 increase in income for qualified families, and or we're going to have to figure out, find a way to try to supplement that cost, to subsidize that cost. So system development charges were another reason that things went up for us significantly this year. As you all probably know, the 2021 SDCs total $14,515 per unit, which is 9.6% of our estimated construction costs. So it's a very substantial element. What we're here requesting is an exemption from SDCs for our homes. The reasons for considering that is that it would allow the qualifying income to be $2,000 lower for our homes than otherwise. Which obviously benefits your community and benefits our program. We're the only organization that is providing for purchase homes in La Pine at that low income level of 80% of the area median income. There's no cash outlay for the port, for the city, as a result of exempting us from SDCs. And it continues to broaden your taxable base. As I mentioned before, in the last 10 years, we've provided 24 new taxable properties within the city, and we're planning to continue to do that. And then exemptions already exist in many other cities in Oregon. This is not an area where you'd be cutting new ground. Next slide. This is an ordinance from the city of Tillamook, and I gave Jeff a copy of this, so I wasn't expecting that you could read the fine print. But basically, the item I've highlighted there says that a project financed by Habitat for Humanity is exempt provided that such project provide housing to families at or below the city's 80% median income level as defined by HUD. So that's the differentiation. Private developers would not be able to meet that criteria, basically. Next slide, please. So, you know, we're asking for your approval of this exemption request from the SDCs. It would make a big impact on our ability to continue serving low-income people in South Deschutes County and specifically Lapine. And we'd like to have your continued support. So I'm open to any questions.
Okay, so I have a quick question before we go along, just so that I'm on the same page with everybody. According to your increase in cost slide,
yes,
it says that in 2021 you'll be forced to or required to increase the minimal annual gross income $2,000. So by taking in the exempting the from your exemption of SDCs, where it says qualifying income for Habitat Homes reduces $2,000 and allows people, that basically is just a push. It allows you to keep the same minimal income rate rather than raise it. It doesn't really reduce it. It just allows you to maintain it at its current rate.
That is true for this year. One of the things I didn't try to cover in the presentation just because of time constraints is the impacts of COVID. You know, last year in March when we recognized that COVID was, you know, going to be a big factor to deal with, we had two choices, not to build anything in 2019 or to figure out a way that we could proceed forward. And we basically decided to hire a contractor to do the framing for us instead of doing it with volunteers, which is what we've usually done. We're doing that again this year. The reason I bring that up is that, you know, God willing, 2022 is going to be a different scenario. So yes, you are correct, Mayor, that for this year, it allows us to maintain that $34,000 threshold.
Yes.
But in the future, it should mean that we'll be able to lower that threshold.
It'll lower it to below the $34,000?
Yeah.
Correct.
I also said on that slide that basically the increment is about $2,000 in income that's necessary to satisfy that additional $15,000 in mortgage value.
Right. Thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the same page.
Yeah.
All right, do we have any questions? Mike Shields?
I don't have any questions. I think it was well explained.
Colleen Scott?
Do you, off the top of your head, know what other, a couple other cities that have given the exemption besides Tillamook? Do you know? Can you recall?
I don't remember. Dwayne Crumey, our executive director, is here, and so if he remembers any.
Well, there are several around the state. In some cases, Bend Habitat gets some exemptions from the city. I think Recreation may be one of them. I'm not sure of the details. But some of the suburbs of Portland are getting exemptions. And I'm reluctant to quote city names because I might not remember correctly, but there, I think out of the 26 or so affiliate Habitat organizations in the state of Oregon, something like 12 of them are getting exemptions for SDCs around the state.
Thank you.
Don Greiner?
I'd like to know, of all of these exemptions that you are getting, is it 100% exemptions or is it partial exemptions? The reason I ask for that is water and sewer I can see up to a point, but transportation I have a problem with. The reason for that is everybody in Habitat is going to want their streets plowed and all the rest of the stuff, and the city of Lapine has absolutely no sources of income for just taking care of that particular issue. All of the streets and all of that that we have to pay for, we have to come up with funds for from other sources. And until we get some sort of a funding source to take care of our streets, I'm not sure that allowing the transportation exemption would be appropriate. The other two I have no problem with. And yeah. I'm wondering what our our public works manager thinks.
May I first of all respond, please?
Certainly.
All of the streets in our development are privately owned, and so our homeowners association has the responsibility for snow removal.
That's just for your particular area, though.
Yeah, but we're not adding anything to the other public streets. I mean, they exist today. If we didn't build a home, you'd still have to plow them.
Right, but we have to maintain them too, and your homes bring added wear and tear to them. I'm not criticizing, and I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to face reality.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, I think I understand exactly what you're trying to say. Anyway, I was wondering what the rest of the council thinks.
Sure. All right, do you have any comment on this, Colleen?
He answered my question, so.
Mike Shields?
Well, I think that Don makes a really good point. You know, it does cause wear and tear on the streets, and so maybe that's something we need to review a little bit.
Certainly, you know, and we'll discuss this.
Okay.
Matt's got any ideas, you know, being that close to the school over there?
Not really. I was just gonna say, if you guys ever need volunteer work, the Lapine NJRTC program is always looking for volunteer hours, so a lot of high schooler kids are looking for work, so any way we can help out, just you can call up the school and ask for the RTC, and we'd love to help.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, I do have just a couple more comments, and I would like to say I'm very familiar with the houses that you just spoke about, the ones over off of Burgess, and then now the townhomes, and they have significantly improved the look of Lapine. I believe that the work that you do on each of the complexes is exemplary, and I have appreciated that you are providing this service to individuals that are unable to qualify for any other type of a home. I think that you provide an outstanding service to Lapine, and I have appreciated knowing that as I've seen people move into the townhomes and the houses, it does make me feel good that through your organization we're able to provide homes for them that they would not normally get. So I just wanted you to know that I personally have appreciated everything you've done. And
oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, most of the people that apply for our homes have never dreamed that they'd ever be able to own a home. In most cases, it's multi-generational. Their parents didn't want a home, and so they just never anticipated that they would own a home. And the exhilaration that they get when it starts to become a reality is all the reward I need, frankly. And let me just summarize by saying that, you know, I completely understand the pragmatic considerations of all of you with respect to running the city. Completely understand that. The reason we are here is what we're trying to do is to help out the city by allowing us to serve even lower income people than we presently serve. You know, we don't have an abundance of funds that we can just give away things. So it all has to be, we run it like a business, and it has to make sense. And so recognizing that your desire is also to try to help out those that are less fortunate in your community, we share that same desire. And that's really the basis for our request.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like one more comment if I could, please.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I don't want you to think that I have said that what I have said detracts from anything that you have done. I've been to the opening of the two places at Putney Place. I've seen the happiness on the smile of the people that were able to go into those places. I think the quality of the foam, the way it looks, has added tremendously to the city of Lapine. And I don't want you to think that I am trying to cut down any of that or take any of that away, because you have done a tremendous job for us in the city, and I thank you for it.
Well, thank you for your clarification.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor? I was looking through the slideshow. I just have one question in regards to the appraisal values. Mm-hmm. How does that play into effect on these people getting loans? So if the appraisal, how does that appraisal value work?
First of all, we carry the construction through construction loans. And when we get to the point where a mortgage is ready to be initiated, mm-hmm. For the last 3 years or 2 years?
3 years.
We've been doing that through Home Depot. And basically, they're willing to write a loan just like any other conventional organization for 80% of value. Mm-hmm. And so they use the appraisal as that value. And as long as our mortgage is 80% or less of that value, then that 20% down that you or I would need isn't required. Now, they hire private appraisers to do that. Mm-hmm. We have had some escalation in appraisals over the last few years, but not as substantial as you would think. I'm doing this in memory, but I think last year was, 2019 was like 202,000?
It was 194 to 200,000 in 19.
Okay.
And then this past appraisals were, as you presented in the slide, 212 to 216.
So basically we've had about a $15,000 per year.
Right. I was just wondering if the increase helps out for the customers to get into those homes.
It does.
Because I'm experiencing market values just skyrocket right now from what we're seeing inside the city limits and the region.
Yeah. Well, frankly, we're surprised that the appraisals are not higher than what they are.
Sure.
I think the problem is that there's not a lot of equivalents.
Yeah, I would say comparables for townhomes probably don't exist, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, I think it would be higher, because I think if there was an open market for townhomes, it would be probably more like 250. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're seeing, unfortunately.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to go on record in support of this request.
Okay, thank you so much. We cannot grant any request at this meeting.
Okay.
We need to discuss that, and then it'll have to be a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
Point of order. I didn't make a suggestion that either our next meeting or the subsequent meeting we hold a work session to discuss, because we are going to need a legislative option regardless if you do decide after work session to go forward, such as an ordinance. So.
Yes. Where I was going with this is we can't do nothing at this meeting. That was right. That was kind of where I was
right. Just suggesting a work session.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Thank you so very much.
Because timing is a constraint, we do have permits that are coming up. When you have your discussion, I guess, we can't hold off on getting the permits given the seasonal constraints that we have.
Certainly.
If you could discuss the possibility of, if you grant this request, refunding the SDCs to us for this year, that would be useful. That's irregular, I recognize, but it would make a huge difference.
Okay.
So if I understand you correctly, you're basically saying when the council holds a discussion to consider at least a one-time refund for the current fiscal period.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we need to pay for the permits not later than, say, April 1st in order to start construction.
Okay.
And it sounds like you're not going to be in a position to approve it before then.
Well, the council can hold a work session
right,
in March. As far as an ordinance is concerned, and it's not a, it has to be an actual ordinance and not a resolution, we do have to have a period of time for notice of that ordinance, and then typically, unless it's an emergency ordinance, we do have to wait 30 days for it to kick in after its passage. So technically speaking, yes, an ordinance might not be officially on the books until May, but if the council decides to consider an ordinance after work session, I mean, I think that there's some safety in knowing that if it's going to be put on the agenda, that it's most likely going to be considered in a positive light. So while that's not 100%, that's a pretty good indication of which direction the wind's blowing.
Yeah. As long as the county is willing to issue those permits, that's what we need.
How many more townhomes are on the docket?
It's 19.
19 total, but how many?
How many lots are still available? After this year, there will be 10.
10, okay.
So depending upon the demand, our demand has been a little bit lower this year. Because of COVID, you know, a lot of people losing jobs and not having income to the extent that they've had previously. We are intending to respond to the demand, whatever that is, and that may be more than 3 next year, but we've got 10 lots left after this year.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, so we're going to move into our next agenda item, which is number 9. This is an RFP for the Pine Transit Center. Do we have a staff report on this?
The update that I can give you, I checked in with our engineer's record 3 times in the last 2 weeks requesting the final product of the RFP, and as of 4:45 this afternoon, we still have not received it when asked for.
We keep getting
an answer that will be done in a couple days, so without going too far into the weeds on this, yes, there's some frustration. We do anticipate having that by the end of this week.
Right. Thank you so much. So then we'll move into our next item, which is our city manager's report. Do we have a condensed version of this?
So, as you know, we did start the recruiting process. I had indicated to all of you that we were going through a recruiter, and we did identify 2 candidates. The second interview, the candidate was interviewed second, was found to be not only adequate, but a really good fit for what we were looking for at the high-end finance level, also bringing the administrative function, in addition to previous board and, I don't want to use the word council, but special district experience, so understood the role of government. Unfortunately, due to an unforeseen circumstance in her personal life, she was not able to start when we wanted her to start. She had to leave the state abruptly. Right now, I'm still considering what that may look like in the future. She may be back in a couple weeks. I do have some concern because of the initial quick step away from the opportunity, but I understand their extenuating circumstances. So I am discussing that, particularly with Ms. Kraft, as you would be the one directly working with her the most, and discussing it with the recruiter. I have been working on final drafts of distribution for job announcements if we do decide to go for direct recruitment, which I did indicate that's the direction we do want to go. But because we're looking at sort of a fluid position here, Ms. Niece, you know, took care of a lot of different aspects, several different jobs. I'm looking at mixing different elements of those job descriptions to find the particular person that we want at this time. I can tell you, regardless of whether that person is heavier on the finance or heavier on the administration, sure, side, it is our intention, both Ms. Kraft and I decided we would like to bring in somebody at the front desk level, at least to support her, whether that's temporary or contract or full-time in the not too distant future. So a very low-end administrative level, because we really do need 2 people in the front office. That's the condensed version of recruiting. With regards to land use, I did indicate that we are receiving quite a few inquiries. Did you want to say something, Alexa?
Oh, no, there was a fuzz. Microphone.
There was what?
There was a fuzz on my microphone. Oh, I was just.
You raised your hand.
No, I was just. sorry.
This week alone, we've had we have 3 pre-applicants this week. Or was it 2?
I think it was 2.
Yeah. But the consistency that we're finding in these pre-app meetings is almost every single one of them is either asking for variance or zone change. I mean, none of these are uniform. And so that's sort of becoming essentially the soup du jour. And I think a lot of it is because what's left within the incorporated boundaries of the pine is the low-hanging fruit is gone.
Right.
Things that are going to require, you know, a compromise or consideration outside of the boundaries is kind of what we're looking at this point, which does cause complications for us because it's not always an easy yes or no. What's going to help us with that is our planner that we brought on contract, Mr. Morgan, who we discussed in the past. We have initiated him on a code audit process, so he is going through our code and looking for any contradictions or any language that essentially steers us in a bad direction or poor direction. And he's also considering where we're at in terms of our population, our boundary size, and what's in our code right now that may have been pulled over from past code language from the county that may or may not be appropriate for where we're at this point in time. So we will get recommendations from him to both the Planning Commission and to you once he's done with that audit. And beyond that, that's what I have right now. I mean, we just spent a couple weeks ago, so I won't go into any more detail right now. But if you have any specific questions, please feel free to contact me.
Okay. Mike, do you have any quick questions?
No, I know.
Donna?
No.
I think we're good there. All right, so let's move farther forward. We have we'll cover this when it gets to the comments. We have no other matters. Do we have any additional public comments? I don't see anybody with their hand raised. We'll move right into staff comments. Jeff?
I have no more comments, but I know we mentioned this in our last meeting, but I did want to recognize this is Ms. Niece's last meeting, so thank you for everything, Robin. We'll miss you.
Thank you.
Jake?
Yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks. Just this week, we've had two development meetings. I don't anticipate that trend slowing down. I think it's going to be one of our busiest springs on record. That's what I anticipate. Nothing major. On a lighter note, just wanted to let you guys know a couple weeks ago, for staff, for my public works staff, we held a session here for training for certification, for state certification for wastewater. My guys are going to get ready to start taking the test, and traditionally I'll send them to a class where they sit in the classroom and go through a study prep with the organization, the Association of Water Utilities. COVID's kind of put a hex on that. It's kind of hard to go to classes when they don't allow them. So I reached out to OAWU, which is the acronym for that association, and asked if they'd be willing to come here and do a half day or do it for a couple other entities in the region just to make it happen. And they said yes. They came down for half a day. They just did it for Brandon and Dylan. They didn't charge us anything. And it was very nice. The guys did really well. I was impressed with how it went, and excited to get these guys some certifications, and excited that they're willing too.
Thank you so much. I think that's a very vital thing that we have more than one person, you know, that can take and handle a situation should it arise.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Other than that, nothing else.
Nothing.
Jamie?
Nothing for me.
Robin.
Just, you know. Goodbye, I suppose.
was that like a big C you wouldn't want to be yet? Or?
A little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Jamie is going to be your all's contact, so make sure if you have any questions or anything that you get a hold of her.
And so if you're going to Nashville?
Does that mean
if we vacation there, free show tickets?
Please
and
do
that
not,
stuff.
Yes. I would ask that you not. No, I'm just kidding. Especially Dom.
Okay. Alexa?
I just a quick update. I guess in the last 2 weeks I've done 2 signed permits, just finished up a variance, and you know, like Jeff and Jake were saying, we've had countless pre-app meetings. Jake and I have approved countless building permits, and like he said, I think it's gonna be a busy spring, but I am excited to have a new contract planner that can at least take on, you know, going through the code, because I just don't have the time. And there are like you all know, a lot of discrepancies, so it'll be nice to have something a bit more solid to work from. That's it.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll move into council comments. Mike Shields?
No comments, I'm pretty quiet today.
Colleen Scott?
Just that I am sad that we don't have the RFP for the Transit Center, and I know that you're all feeling the same way I am. So I'm really anticipating that we have it on our next agenda. I know it's no fault of yours. I just want to go on record as saying that it was a real disappointment that he did not come through on that.
Don Greiner?
First, I'd like to say thank you for our student counselor to let us know what's going on at the high school. It's kind of nice, even though we live close to the high school, we don't know all the things that goes on. And getting the kids back in school, I think, is a major anyway, it's major. And Robin, I want to say personally thank you for everything that you've done for us. We're going to miss you, but I guarantee you we'll have somebody else there. That's it, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Mr. Miller, it's time for your quick synopsis.
All right, so I know I haven't been here in a while, so I just wanted to give you guys an update and let you guys know I'll have updates from now on for every meeting that you guys come to.
Just for the record, Mr. Miller, what is your position here?
Student representative.
Thank you so much.
Oh, sorry. So just a quick update. Kids are going back to school 2 days a week. They've split us into two groups. Cohort A, the first group, will go to school on Mondays and Thursdays. Second group goes to school on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then on Wednesdays, we all meet online. If you're not going to school, so say if I'm in group B, group A goes Monday, I log into this app called Canvas, and your teachers put on work stuff on there, and we do work at home. Sports are starting back up. They had to move sports around because of COVID this year. So a lot of the fall sports, there was just too many regulations, so they decided to move it to the spring and shorten the season. So a lot of those sports started Monday, and games will be starting next week because it's such a short season. It's only about 6 to 7 weeks long. So games are starting right off the bat. Sadly, no spectators are allowed, but the school will be broadcasting it live. Most of the outdoor games will be on the football field, and then volleyball will be in the gym, of course. But you'll be able to watch those live if any of you guys would like to do that. And then previously, happened a few weeks ago, the NJRTC cadets had a Secretary of the Navy marksmanship competition. And so that's all over the nation, and also in other countries. Our military has NJRTC programs over there as well. And so I think we had 6 cadets all compete in that. And we just got our scores back 3 or 4 days ago, and I think we placed 11th for our area, which is pretty good. So they've been working on that, and that's about it. Just a quick update.
Thank you so much. So I guess for my comments, mayoral comments, I'm really sad to see Robin go. She was quite an active part of our establishment here, but I wish her the very best in her new adventure in Nashville. I'm very happy to know that our acquisition of a contract planner is going well. That should eliminate some of the delays that we have in planning, and now having a qualified person also is good. Plus, I hope that we can move forward toward the acquisition of like an in-house engineer or something, so that we can eliminate delays like with our RFP that's happened. I think that all of these things, if we can expedite the processes that happen within the city, I think that it benefits not only the citizens, but it also benefits the city as a whole, you know, the staff, because we save time and effort and don't have to, you know, do things thrice. So with that said, I really would like to thank everybody for coming to our meeting tonight. And thank you so much. Have a great evening.